Good morning.
Let us pray. Patient God, we ask that you speak to us again. Even though we think we have heard it all, open our ears and our minds anew. Amen. Now, this morning's reading is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 9 through 12, and it reads as follows. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jeff. This is our final week looking at the book of Jonah. Next week, we'll celebrate Independence Day and also look at being a Christian citizen. And then 2 weeks from now, we start a new series where we're going to walk through the signs and wonders performed by Jesus. But for a quick recap of Jonah's story so far, since we're in the last week of it, he is told by God to go to Nineveh, capital of the Assyrian Empire, enemy of Israel, to preach against their evil ways. But instead of going east to Nineveh, he gets on a ship going west. But he can't escape God. Winds up tossed off of a ship, swallowed by a fish, and deposited on the beach. Then God tells Jonah again to go to Nineveh, and this time he obeys. Preaches against their evil, and lo and behold, the people of that great city repent and ask for God's mercy. And so Jonah's prophecy that in 40 days this city will be destroyed never happens. God granted them mercy. And that's where we pick up the story in Jonah chapter 4. This was very displeasing to Jonah. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city, sat down east of the city, and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to shade his head to save him from his discomfort. And so Jonah was very happy about the bush. But then dawn came up the next day, and God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and again asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and for which you did not grow. It came into being in a night, perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. Well, if you watched the sermon teaser video this week, you already heard this story. When I was in college, I had an opportunity to start dating a girl that I really liked, but I'm a Christian and Christians are supposed to check with God about things, at least that's what I've heard. And so I decided to pray to God and ask him if I should start dating this girl. But to be clear, this was all for show. This was to check off a box and reaffirm what I had already decided. I was not expecting an answer. In fact, I didn't want an answer. I already knew the answer was yes. But I prayed anyway, lobbed up a quick inquiry to God, and got ready to move on my merry way when I received a loud, booming, almost audible reply: "No." I was speechless and wide-eyed, but surely I had just imagined that, right? I mean, it was a fluke. So I prayed again, and before I could even finish my one-sentence prayer again, the loud, booming reply, "No." I checked first to see if my roommates were playing a trick on me, but no such luck. This was not the answer I had expected. And it definitely was not the answer I wanted. And in case you're wondering, "God told me not to date you" does not go over well as an explanation. I probably should have just lied to her. It probably would have gone better. Have you ever received a surprising response from God? Have life's events ever careened far from the path that you desire? If so, how did you respond? How did it affect your prayer, your conversation with God, if you still prayed in those times? Now, I have to admit that in this regard, Jonah gives me a lot of hope, because he tried a lot of bad ideas when God surprised him. He tried running away. He tried manipulating God. In verse 4, he even flat out ignores God's question. God says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah just walks out of the city with nary a reply. Since God keeps talking to Jonah, I take away from this that God is gracious with us and knows that we are not at our best when life surprises us or when we're angry. In fact, we know that our first reaction when we're surprised or startled is pretty much automatic. It's hardwired into us. There are four basic reactions when things go from okay to not okay. We can attack others, attack self, avoid, or withdraw. And Jonah tries all four of them. He withdraws to Tarshish. That didn't work. He avoids God's question. God keeps coming. He attacks himself and wishes he were dead. He attacks God. But at the end of it, Jonah's description about God is spot on. "I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing." Now, Jonah was furious with God that he would be so gracious with the citizens of Nineveh, but he didn't stop to realize that God was being just as gracious with him. When you're surprised, when things go from okay to not okay, how do you respond? Do you avoid? Do you withdraw? Do you attack others? Do you attack yourself? Whatever it is, that first reaction is pretty much hardwired into you. It's not rational. It's automatic. And the difference, according to psychologists, between healthy and not healthy is just how long it takes you to get from that automatic response and back to being rational, regaining your thoughts. Whatever your first reaction is, Jonah tried all of them and still received grace from God. Know that God grants you the same grace. What about when things go really, really badly? Not just the small stuff. We're talking epically bad. What about when things seem hopeless? I've made some jokes about Jonah and his responses, but let's put his anguish in context here. Keep in mind, he's not just upset that he looks like a false prophet because his prophecy didn't happen. In Jonah's time, Assyria was spreading like a virus. They were a malignant tumor spreading inexorably toward the kingdom of Israel. They needed a miracle if Israel was going to survive. God blowing up the capital city, that would probably suffice, but instead they're spared. And Jonah has every reason to be concerned. About 40 years after this event, the Assyrians come and take over Israel. Judah and Jerusalem survive, but the whole northern part of Israel falls to these same Assyrians. Clearly, their repentance and their belief in God didn't last that long. I think Jonah's pretty aware of what's going on here, because he knows if God cares about the people of Nineveh, not just the people of Israel, if God isn't going to nuke the Assyrians to save the Israelites, Jonah knows his people are going to lose. There's a lot of hand-wringing in our current political cycle, but can you imagine if we were under the thumb of another country? Jonah has every reason to feel defeated and even hopeless. In fact, he probably didn't know this, but this moment marks the beginning of about 200 years of constant bad news for the Jewish people. It is the start of one of their darkest hours, darkest centuries even. Have you ever had things go down the tubes like that? Not just a couple of bad bounces, but months or years of trouble piling up. Have you ever felt like you're running up a steep, gravelly hill, slipping downward no matter how fast you run? I met a man this week who, after 3 years of bad bounces and also bad decisions, found himself hopeless and homeless. I know a woman whose husband just decided to leave her now while she's pregnant rather than later, so that, you know, doing her a favor so the child wouldn't remember it. Isn't that nice? Or maybe you've had a hopeless diagnosis, or lost a house to foreclosure, or a marriage falling apart, or even just the sapping strain of everything going wrong. How do you respond when things are epically bad? Hopeless even. This is a question we get sometimes about our son Charlie and his seizures. How do we handle it when our son has had seizures for over 2 years and little chance of getting rid of it? How do we handle the developmental delays as a result? How do we handle the terrible side effects of mostly ineffective medications? How do we handle the constant march of bad news? With that in mind, when Jonah is laying there, overlooking this city that God won't destroy to save Israel, cooking in the desert sun, tired and worn down, I get where he's coming from. Do you get where Jonah is coming from? Have you ever been so far beyond your ability to cope that you can't even remember what it was like to be happy or stable? Ever thought, like Jonah, it's better for me to die than to live? Well, if so, the Bible takes up this question of how to respond in faith when things seem hopeless, as they did to Jonah. Job takes it up at the end of the book of Job, after his incredible suffering. Jonah goes there in this chapter. Paul talks about it toward the end of his life, and the Psalms address it too. And in all of those places, the answer is remarkably consistent. Psalm 118 says, "I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done." Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." Jonah tried to escape God in the sea, but God rescued him with the fish. Jonah in this chapter tries to just give up and stop caring, but God reminds Jonah that God still cares. The answer is the same. Good things happen. Bad things happen. But God says, "I am concerned for you through it all." Just as God is concerned with Jonah, even through his disobedience, God is concerned for you. Just as God is concerned for the Ninevites who don't even believe in God, and even their animals, so too God is concerned for you. It might seem hopeless. God still cares. It might seem pointless to pray. God's not going to do anything. God can still go to work. It might seem better to die. Psalm 118 says, "I will not die, but live." We are not called to give up. We are called to get up nevertheless and keep asking God to do something. And trust me, I understand how pointless that feels sometimes. But nevertheless, that's what faith looks like when there seems to be no hope. Sisters and brothers, Jonah tried everything when his life seemed hopeless. He tried attacking others. He tried attacking himself. He tried avoiding it. He tried running away. None of that worked. But God loved him and was concerned for him through it all. Concerned for a runaway prophet, concerned for the capital of an evil empire and a threat to God's people, concerned for you and me too. Therefore, even if it seems hopeless, I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Amen.